Blog Talk Radio.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing, I'm out the former, out the pen. But I'm hating dead, playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands and when the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Good evening, folks. That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. And as always, he said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. You know, I like to stress that point each and every time I get a chance because I think that point has a whole lot of value to it. And if we can just get that, bottle that, sell that in the local convenience store to our children, boy, oh boy, I think we'll be on to something, folks. I think we really and truly will be on to something. And I think it would make a huge impact in making some things happen for our kids. But that's my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. He's making smart cool. And that in itself has a whole lot of value to our life, things to our children. Well, folks, you know, in saying that, we got a conversation tonight that little piece in itself has added some huge value. That little piece by itself, as the gentleman, as Keith says, he's making smart cool. Like I said, has added some huge value. And in our conversation this evening, I think it will add some value to our conversation this evening as well. And what I mean by that, you know, we had a situation where there's some concerns that popped up. And what I mean by that, you know, we as parents, we have our role. And in my eyes, our role is unquestionable. Our role is unshaken, and our role is not to be defined by anyone who did not give birth to or help conceive that child. I hate to put it so plain and so simple, but it is what it is, and that's the reality of it. So, what do I mean by that? You know, we have a lot of concerns as parents. And in our opening discussion or in our topic for today, you know, I just put it out there. I said, you know, do parents have a concern about youth sports? Well, I think we should have a concern. I think we really and truly should have a concern because youth sports are doing some things, and it's taking us in quite a few different directions that are we really and truly prepared for it as parents. Then those that are, what I would say, unattached from the program or do not have a real connection to the program may just be totally baffled at this point. And get to the point where they're totally lost. Well, I went on the National Federation of High School, their website, And on their website, I came across this positive sports parent self-assessment. And it's about 10 questions long. And what I want to do, I want to go through each one of these questions and allow you to rate yourself. And once you actually had a chance to rate yourself, and you're only rating yourself from 1 to 5, with 1 being not like me and 5 being very much like me, 3 being somewhat like me, so get a chance to rate yourself, and then somewhere towards the end, we'll talk about the different scales of where we're at as far as your score is concerned. So, without further ado, I'm going to go through some of these questions. And this is kind of sort of going to lead into what we're going to talk about later on. Because I had a very disturbing message come to me earlier today from a parent that I really and truly had no connection to. I noticed that the parents started following me on Twitter, or following the Parents Coach Parents Network on Twitter. And as a result, I reached out to the parent, thanked the parent for following me, and, you know, we went from there and talking a little bit more about their children and so on and so forth, and come to find out there's some underlying issues that we as parents need to address. And we as parents, I think collectively, can help this parent overcome where we're at in this particular situation. So, stick with me, folks. Hang in there. You know, if you got you want to reach into the conversation, I know I got a few callers that I'm going to be have on with me this evening. But anybody else is more than welcome to join the conversation. You can always join the conversation at 917-889-8095. I'm going to say that number again, 917-889-8095. Let's go into our parent self-assessment. The first question, it says, do I, you know, being you, I emphasize the development of my child and having fun more than winning? Do I emphasize the development of my child and having fun more than winning? Again, you got a 1 for not like me, 2 for somewhere in there, 3 for somewhat like me, 4 for I think that kind of sort of maybe, and then you have 5 very much like me. Okay, question one more time, then we'll move on to the next question. Again, you're rating yourself 1 through 5, folks, 1 through 5. Do I emphasize the development of my child and having fun more than winning? 1 through 5. The second question, do I avoid trying to coach my child when he or she has a coach? Do I avoid trying to coach my child when he or she has a coach? Again, rate yourself 1 through 5, folks. 1 through 5. 1 through 5. The third question, do I provide love and support regardless of the outcome of the game? I want you to ponder and seriously think about that for a second, because that question oftentimes, I think, gets away from some of us parents. But I want you to think about that one for a second. I'm going to give it to you one more time. Do I provide love and support regardless of the outcome of the game? That's question number 3. Again, rate yourself 1 through 5. 5 being very much like me. Number 4, do I emphasize the importance of hard work with my child? Do I emphasize the importance of hard work with my child? In other words, do you stress, hey, get out there, put your all into it, you know, let's put some hard work into it, and you'll get a better result. Again, I want you to rate yourself 1 through 5. Number 5, Do I hold my child accountable for poor or unsportsmanlike shit? Ah, man. Unsportsmanlike behavior during the game. Let me read that again. I tripped over my own tongue. Do I hold my child accountable for poor and unsportsmanlike behavior during a game? Rate yourself 1 through 5, folks. 1 through 5. 5 being very much like me, 1 being not like me. Number 6, do I avoid focusing? Interesting questions. Hold on. Make sure I got this right. Do I avoid focusing the majority of our conversation at home on my child's sports? Okay, let me go through that again because it sounded like I tripped over it. Do I avoid focusing the majority of our conversations at home on my child's sports? I initially looked at it and thought it said something totally different, and I was going to look at that question and back away from it. But that question did turn out to be, I'm going to hit it one more time. It says, do I avoid focusing the majority of our conversation at home on my child's sports? Again, rate yourself 1 through 5. Question number 7. Do I avoid considering my child's sports as an investment and that I should receive something in return? Woo-wee! Parents, I want to say woo-wee on that one because I really and truly think that we need to look at that one again, and I can go all day talking about that one. And let me hit that question again. That was question number 7. Question number 7. Do I avoid considering my child's sports as an investment and that I should receive something in return? Again, rate yourself 1 through 5. 5 being very much like me, 1 being not like me, not like me. Number 8, do I treat my child the same following a win or loss? Do I treat my child the same following a win or a loss? Interesting. And it'd be interesting, parents, what I really and truly need you to do, I need you to be honest when you answer these questions. I need you to be honest when you answer these questions because, again, and you don't have to give this score or report this to anybody other than yourself, but I want to see some honesty in answering these questions. And you don't even have to tell me what your score is because you're the only one that's going to be able to check yourself. You're the only one that really and truly, at the end of the day, is going to say, I need to really, 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 really think about what I'm doing. Okay, question number 9. Do I avoid critiquing my child immediately following the game or during the ride home? Do I avoid critiquing my child immediately following the game or during the ride home? Parents, again, I want you to be honest when you're answering these questions. 5 being very much like me, 1 being not like me. Question number 10. And I promise this will be the last question. Then we're going to go into our show. But I just want to share this with you because it relates to our topic oh so well. Question number 10. Do I support all players on the team, even when my son or daughter is not playing? Do I support all players on the team, even when my son or daughter is not playing? Well, folks, like I said, I wanted to touch on those questions right there and I wanted to touch on this particular topic this evening. Do parents have concerns about youth sports? And I think that kind of sort of ties into where we're at. Again, I had a very interesting conversation with a parent earlier this evening, so I had to call in some backup to try to help me look at this particular subject. And I've chimed in all my callers. I got area code 973, I got area code 713, and then I got an area code 781. So, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Prayers for the Prayers Network.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening. Tell me everybody that's on the line so I make sure I got my numbers right.
781.
Okay.
This is Jackie Gibbs, mother to athlete.
I got you, Jackie.
And,
okay.
And it's Kim Davis calling from Houston.
Okay. Good evening, Kim.
And then Sorry about that. I am new. So I'm Sabrina, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Okay. Well. Good evening to Atlanta. Sabrina, is that you?
It is.
Okay. Well, good evening. We have a great group of folks on, and hopefully the young lady that sent me that very interesting email message will chime in as well, and hopefully we'll be able to help her out. I sent her the link to the show this evening, and hopefully she'll chime in and just give us some more insight on her situation. You know, and I sent it to each one of you, not to reveal too much personal information about the young lady, but, you know, just looking at a situation like that, and I know each one of you had a chance to look at it, and actually everyone had a chance to respond to it, but I'm going to give our listening audience a little something on what I'm talking about. We have a situation where, and I'm going to give y'all some more background on it as well. We have a situation where a young man recently transferred into a new school. And then transferring, we're talking high school. We're not talking at the college level. We're talking a high schooler, actually school junior, transferred into the new school. At his previous school, he was a star athlete or one of the star athletes, averaging about 25 points a game and getting plenty of playing time. So now since then he has transferred from that school district, and to ask why or anything of that nature, to me, really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But that could be part of the factor, and I'm hoping that the parent will call in and give us some insight on that. But has since transferred into this new school district, and now he's getting every bit of 2 to 4 minutes of playing time. Needless to say, we are talking about basketball. We are talking about a young man that's approximately about 6'5", 215 pounds. So he's a good-sized young man. He's no lightweight. And, you know, playing basketball, you know, at any position, that's probably a pretty good size, especially at the high school level. So now he's at the new school, and, you know, the mom had a few questions concerning, you know, different things going on with the program. So she asked a question or sent the coach an email in reference to a schedule question. She had a question in reference to the schedule. And in doing so, the coach took it upon himself to not only disregard the mom's email, well, he didn't disregard it, he went to the child's classroom, got the child out of the classroom, explained to the child, if your mom has a question pertaining to the schedule, then I need her to communicate that to you, and you in return communicate that to me, which in return will help you work on your communication skills. Me, personally, as a dad, I have a little problem with that. I don't find that to be no part, nowhere along the line appropriate for a coach to put a child in a situation like that. And I'm going to stop talking here in a minute and let my my guest that's on the call chime in and give me some thoughts, or maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I haven't experienced something like this, and I really and truly need some more insight. And hopefully, our parent is listening, and she'll call in, or she's just listening just for some sound advice. So at this point, I'm going to go ahead and stop and get my number on for a short period of time. Are you going to be able to stay on with us, or you need to get in now?
No, I have a few minutes.
Okay, well, we'll start with you.
So the issue is just so that I'm clear, is that the parent would like to talk with the coach, but the coach has told the student, the child, the young man, if your mom has something to say, they need to say it to you, and you tell me. Is that pretty much?
Yes.
So, since you're talking about high school, it seems like that, the parent should be able to talk to the coach. But let me say this, I guess it depends. I mean, I'm in Texas, and I've covered sports in different parts of the country. And I remember when I was working at a TV station in New Orleans, sometimes the parent got so involved with, like, coaching and the coaches. I'm not saying this is the case there, but it seemed in those cases to make more sense for the parents to not have this communication directly with coaches about things like playing time. Now, if you're talking about school and classwork and grades, it was different. So, high school sports in certain parts of the country is super aggressive and intense. And so I know in certain places where I've worked, they've tried to limit, like, parents' involvement with coaches. So I don't know if that's the case there, because I'm not in that part of the country now. So if that could be the case. I mean, that's a, and maybe perhaps the coach definitely could have handled it better. But if you're talking about playing time, should that be something that the parent talks to the coach about? I'm not sure I agree that it is.
Well, she didn't indicate that it was anything pertaining to playing time. It was a schedule question.
Oh, well, then definitely if it's a schedule question and it has to do with school, I know you were talking about this playing time and how much you play, but if it has to do with the schedule and classes, it seems like the parent should absolutely be able to have contact communication with a coach or a counselor or somebody who is in charge of that.
And I would agree with you. I would agree with you. And, one thing that I wanted to add in there, and not to add any twist or anything in there, we are talking about a high school kid. So we could be talking about a young man that's from anywhere from 15, 16, 17 years old.
Right.
And that's where the problem comes in for me. Jackie, we're going to come around to you.
Yeah, I was getting ready to try to jump in, so I'll wait my turn.
Who was that? So they wait their turn.
Is it my turn now? This is Jackie.
Yes, Jackie. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think I have a different view on the situation. Just because they are or he is a high school student, and we speak to all moms across the country, and you're right. It is really intense. I'm here in New Jersey, in the New York, New Jersey area, and basketball especially is really a high-profile sport here. My take is that he's still a minor. He's a high school student. And if you have my child, that's what he is, until it's not like he's in college. And when they go to college, they're adults, and they, you know, they have their rights as adults speak to them directly. But as a child, I should be able to ask you, coach, or a representative. So if I can't come to you directly, then give me someone that's an adult that's going to take my message back to you and speak to you as though I'm speaking directly to you. And it sounds like that this mother has not been given the opportunity to do that, to have whatever her concerns are, be it playing time or scheduling or whatever, having her voice heard in an adult manner. And for the coach to say, speak through your child, I don't think is appropriate. So that's really is my take. I think it sounds like he's approaching the situation as though it is a college-level situation, which it isn't. And in that case, if it's college, they're adults and they should be able to communicate and speak to other adults, hence the coach and the young adult or player. So that's my take on it. And then my advice to the mom would be is to seek out help in the school. If they have a athletic director of the programs there, if I can't talk to the coach, then I'm going to the coach's boss, whoever that is, their boss. So if they have an athletic director or principal, so that she is directing her concerns to another adult and not having an adult and a child take care of my questions or my concerns. So that would be my outlook, and then how I would resolve it or just give the opinion of how to resolve it.
Well, hey, I definitely can't agree with you more. I think that kind of like summed it up quite nicely. You know, and that is the biggest concern. And I tell this to parents all the time. You know, I tell parents, and when I talk about that, I talk about the issue of a high school student having a conversation with a college coach, and knowing that college coach has an impact over that child's playing time. Now, it doesn't have an impact over your education, but has a direct impact over, you know, their playing time. And if they have a real good passion for that sport, then they're going to be a little hesitant to really go at the coach or ask a real hard question or a question that they believe is hard if they haven't developed that type of relationship with that coach. Now, we're talking about a high school faculty member, staff member, compared to a high school student, which is now we're talking a little bit younger. And that coach or whoever that person may be, part of that school, also not only has a direct impact over that child's playing time, but could have an impact over that child's grades. So could you imagine what type of, I wouldn't say fear, but I would try to find something that would describe, you know, that child will really be hesitant to approach this person, especially if, you know, things haven't been going right up to this point anyway. So, on that note, I'm going to step back for another second, and I'm going to go to Sabrina. You still on with us? Sabrina?
Sorry about that. Yes, I am here. Sorry, I had pressed mute because I was coughing. First of all, I would like to say that both ladies are both correct. I would like to interject and then say, regardless if this is high school or a college freshman or sophomore, it is a parent's right to intercede for that child. I believe that, first of all, this adult is dealing with a child, okay? And therefore, mom should be reaching out to him, but then also reaching out and then explaining that if I can't speak to you, then I need to speak to A, B, or C. Because it sounds like this coach has been given this authority over everyone's lives and no one has spoken up, which is what I believe is the real issue. I just honestly believe that a parent does have a right on any level to ask a coach about any scheduling, playing time, hindering a student from playing. And it sounds like this player was a very rounded player prior to going there. So I'm really not worried too much about his playing time being cut, because when he's out there, he will stay on top if he has mom's support in helping him work through this, because this is a life coaching moment, I believe. And then coaching moment to say, okay, you're 6'5", 215 pounds, I believe, and then so
yeah.
What? You, he, mom, needs to instill in him that basketball does not define you. However, basketball can help you. And through all this journey with this coach, it is teaching them how to work through the speed bump. Because this coach won't be the last coach he encounters, but how they approach this situation will make him better for the next time. So both parents on the phone, awesome answers. I believe that it is right, and I just believe that mom needs to stand by her young man and then just use this as a coachable moment, but then also intercede for her child and then make it clear to the coach this is what will be done. Because it sounds like this is a free education, a public school. She does have a say. So
okay.
That's my take on it.
Well, you know, I applaud each and every answer that we received, and I'm hoping that I'm trying to send a message out to the parent now. Hopefully she'll chime in on the conversation and give us more insight. But, you know, one thing I wanted to add, and it's not to just constantly just drop little pieces in there, but she had got to the point where, just due to the level of frustration of trying to or making an attempt to interact with the coach, you know, one of the messages that she sent me, she was saying, well, hey, I'm just going to step back and let my son handle everything. And at that point, I was like, no, please do not do that. Please, please, please do not do that. You know, I understand your son is a big-sized young man, but he is, again, still young.
Yep.
You know, he's young in maturity. You know, he may be 6'5", 215 pounds, looking like a grown man, may have facial hair all over his face or whatever, but in that brain or in that thing that's sitting on top of his shoulders, he is probably still a very young, immature young man. And even if he wasn't, he's still in high school. He's still a minor.
Mm-hmm.
He's still considered somebody's baby. I will even say that about mine, and mine is about 6'4", 6'5", probably about the same size as that young man right there. But I look at him today as still my baby. He's 21 years old. So in saying that, now we're talking about a high schooler. Oh, that's altogether a different situation, altogether a different situation. You know, but we run into coaches like that, you know. And Sabrina, I think you just touched on it, you know, and I think I heard Kim touch on it. I know I heard Jackie touch on it. And I'm glad that each one of you gave your perspective from your areas. And if you notice, we got a nice little group of folks from different parts of the country. But you touched on being able to reach out to someone that should be able to assist you. If the coach is not the go-to guy, he should have, and I forgot who said it, he should have someone designated to handle those type questions. You know, and if you can't get through to that person, then going to his boss, whoever that may be, whether or not it's the principal, whether or not it's the AD, whoever. Somebody where you can sit down and have an adult conversation with someone in reference to what's going on. Now, if your conversation is solely based upon, and just like the ladies just said, if the conversation is solely based upon playing time, then hold that thought. Let your child earn that playing time, get out there, work hard, do what he has to do, sound like he's a well-rounded player, sound like he can do what he needs to do on the floor. Let them do it. But if it's just simple things like schedule issues, or if it's simple things like, you know, transportation, or, you know, if the kids have to be a certain place, or, you know, different times they're going to have practice and times keep changing and fluctuating and you need the child to be home at this time, that time, or whatever, okay, you need to talk to a coach. A coach don't need to hear that from a child. Parents, can we think of anything, and ladies that's on with me this evening, can we think of anything that anything else that we can possibly share with this parent to make sure that she doesn't give up on this situation? She don't have to be overly aggressive. She don't have to be a helicopter mom or anything like that. But simply staying involved and proactive.
Hey, Michael, let me look, this is Kim. Let me jump in real quick, and then I'm going to have to go a little bit. But just for a point of clarification, I absolutely think that a parent has every right, and it's actually their responsibility, to talk to the coach or the teacher or the counselor about anything relating to their kids. So I don't ever – that was not at all my point. I do think when it comes to playing time, that's time that's a little different. But the first and foremost, the high school kids, their first priority is getting their education. So, you know, everything that relates to that, the parent is responsible for that child. And if the coach doesn't want to talk about the schedule, maybe it's not the coach, then maybe it's the counselor. So I would encourage the mom to go to the school and talk to a counselor, talk to someone in the administrative office and find out, who do I talk to about my son's schedule? Because the coach, it may be one of those schools where the coach just really wants to do coach stuff. Then to him, that is basketball. But that doesn't mean the other – everything else isn't as important. Actually, it's more important. So that's what I would advise a mom to do. Find out. Go to the school. Since calling and emailing is not working, go to the school and say, hey, I have some questions about my son's schedule. Who do I talk to? And I would start there. And you don't even necessarily have to say that I try to talk to the coach. I just say I have questions about my son's schedule because his education is important. What's the process here? Who do we talk to get it done? And that would be my advice. I apologize for having to run, but speaking of coaches, we've had a couple of big coaching changes in Houston. I've got to get a story done before about another hour. But thank you for including me, and I hope that something I said was a little bit helpful.
We definitely appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know your schedule is pretty busy. And we're looking forward to having you on just as a guest one evening just to share some of the insight of things that you do from your perspective.
Well, I would I appreciate that. I look forward to it. And keep up the great work. I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Okay, bye.
I know somebody else wants to chime in and give us some insight on encouraging this mom to stay connected to this situation.
You know what? I would, Mike. This is Sabrina. I'm not sure. I know that we said that she was up in Maryland. And I'm not sure whether or not she is a single mom, as I am. But I would encourage her to seek out maybe a private school setting. A private school setting with the understanding that she may qualify for some type of financial assistance. Also, again, to like know that there is a better solution out there for her. And he, as a young Black man, doesn't have to be limited by this. So I would definitely research a lot of avenues out there, and just do not settle, because again, she is her son's advocate, and I believe that with her reaching out to you, she is reaching out because she needs other options, and that this is a way that she can get it. So I just really encourage her that way.
Well, I'm not sure. There's a couple things, and I was hoping that she was going to join us this evening, because there was a couple questions that I had in reference to the message that I received. The first question I had was the schedule issue. I wasn't sure if she was talking about his academic schedule or whether or not she was talking about his playing schedule. Because the season starts here right around the corner this week. Most of the schools in the Virginia, Maryland area is game time come later on this week. So I was trying to get some clarification on that as far as what schedule she was talking about. Secondly, and wasn't sure at all about her status on whether or not she was a single mom or anything of that nature. Again, I was hoping that she would have called in and shared just a little bit more insight with us on that. I was just mainly concerned with, her wanting to step away from it and allowing the young man to continue on trying to get himself recruited by himself. That doesn't make for a good recipe.
Right.
Yes. Was somebody getting ready to say something? Okay. And we had, those two issues, the schedule, her stepping, wanting to step away, and really had some concern about that, wasn't too sure about the whether or not she was a single mom or not. Sabrina, you mentioned something about, him transferring and trying to get into another school. He had just transferred into that school.
Okay.
To continue to try to jump around and make another jump, that a lot of times that may not work out either, because after a while somebody's going to say, well, hey, he's jumping around for the sole purpose of just trying to play ball, and we're going to sit you out for a year, or we're going to sit you out for 30 days, or we're going to sit you out for half the season, as the different states have their different ways of doing business along that line.
Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Hey, go ahead.
I was going to say you could have NCAA clearinghouse concerns as well, Mike, if you start your job and change schools. So that, you have to be careful with that as well.
But I want to throw one more little there. That may be a wrinkle that messed me up when I first heard the story. As I'm sitting down and I'm looking at the lady that sent me she sent me a message in Twitter, a direct message in Twitter. She's not African American. She's Caucasian. And I'm assuming that her son is probably Caucasian. And that in itself messed me up. And I say that because you would think that this is the kind of situation that an African-American young man would experience because he's been bouncing around from school to school or he just transferred into another school setting. And in the end, he's having some problems with the coach or whatever. But as I looked at the situation, looked at her picture that she has up on Twitter, that's not the case. I'm not sure exactly the nationality of her son, but I'm assuming that he is a Caucasian young man as well. So that was another thing that threw a wrinkle in it for me. Jackie, do you have something that you wanted to add as far as helping her stay in the process?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, what I said earlier is that going to someone in the school, be it an athletic director, principal, or whoever, that could communicate to the coach. So, you know, that would be my suggestion. And as far as, you know, the race or even gender of the student, it doesn't – I think that all of our answers and discussion items, it stands firm with that as well. The NCAA doesn't care whether or not it's a male or female, white or black. You know, you got to have the grades. You have to have, you know, you have to clear. So, and a parent and a child are the same, whether, you know, it's a female or male, black or white, it's all the same. So I just encourage the mom to just take her stand as the mother and as the adult and be able to find someone that's going to communicate with her. If she keeps pushing someone will stand up and answer her question.
Exactly. And I agree with you wholeheartedly because it is important. And Sabrina said it. I don't know if she has been reading my messages or you know, things that I'm posting on Twitter. But, yes, we must be our child's biggest advocate. You know, that's not an optional thing. That's something that we have to do, you know, because these kids are trying to do what they have to do on the court, on the field, you know, wherever their playing surface is, they're trying to do that part. Then they turn around and they're trying to do what they have to do in the classroom to maintain their grade. So we as parents, we have a role in here, a responsibility to step up and do our part as far as trying to assist them to reach that level of success that they're trying to get to. You know, does that necessarily mean to go on and play professional? No, that just simply means if their level of success or their goal is to reach, hey, I want to play at the collegiate level, and we can help them get there, Division I, II, III, mm-hmm. whatever the case may be, then it is what it is. You know, but we must be their biggest advocate. It's not an optional thing, and I stress that to parents all the time. And, you know, just to throw something else in there about, you know, one of the messages I read, and I went back and I looked at it here a second ago. He was at one point in time being recruited by a Division I program. And now that he has transferred over to this new school, she's saying that she hasn't heard anything from the coach in a while. That's just the way things are. because now that his season, and that's why I want to explain to her, now that his season has started and her son's high school season get ready to start, he's not going to be available the way he was prior to his season starting. He's not going to be able to get out there and give you a call all the time because he's traveling on the road, you know, trying to do his thing and keep his program up and running. So I wanted to share that with her, and hopefully she'll get a chance to listen to it. And I just sent her another message via Twitter. And if she's not able to call in this evening at 917-889-8095, I encourage her to call in, share some insight on what we're talking about, and hopefully something that ladies have shared this evening or something I have said this evening will help her or motivate her to stay involved in the process. Stay involved in the process. Well, ladies, I'm going to step away for a second. We're going to do our little infomercials and get some information out here to our people because we only have a few more seconds left before this show prepares to wind down. I didn't realize we have been talking and having such a great conversation. But we'll be right back shortly here on the Parents of the Parents Network on Blog Talk Radio.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
I'm passionate about sports, and I think youth sports has so much that we can give to our kids, all those life lessons. Parents have the best intentions, even when they sort of go berserk on the sidelines. We all saw that video of the hockey dad who was upset about the rough play on the ice, and with all good intentions, he went down to confront the coach, and it turned out disastrously.
Get the wheels on the fire!
Usually when we go berserk on the sidelines as a coach or as a parent, it's all about winning. And yet, if you ask parents to list what they want for their kids, winning doesn't come up high on the list at all. They want them to learn hard work, determination, perseverance, how to deal with defeat. And all those are learned, win or lose. One of the things I'll do is I'll actually hand out pieces of paper and give my parents and say, hey, just make sure you don't have your own kid's name on this piece of paper. I want you to look at that child today and find two good things he does in today's game. So what I've done is I've given him the role of a coach for a day. Don't try to get into that post-game analysis so quickly. Let's just say he missed the winning play, whistle blows. He plops into the seat next to you on the ride home. What do you say to him? And sometimes we just say, you know what? Say nothing. Just go to Wendy's and get the Frosty, because that's really what they want. Let's say you had to miss a game. How many times have you been on a business trip or whatever, and you missed your game, and you call your little son or daughter and say, hey, Matthew, that's my son's name, how'd you do today? What if Matt had his worst game of the year? You've just put all the pressure on Matt. How did you do today? How about a different question? Hey, Matt, who made a great play on your team today? You've got him talking about his teammates, which is one of our goals, get him to be team players, all because of just the way I ask the question. It all comes down to what's your goal as a parent. It can't be the college scholarship or winning or the record. If your goal truly is the life lessons, that's going to occur through the good and the bad.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
What is the NAIA? The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports, in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
Okay, we're back. And folks, you know, the NAI is another option that we have out there for our kids just to become interested in. And over the last few minutes or so, we've been talking about just simply some things that we as parents have experienced over the years and some of the ways that we've been able to work around it. But one situation in particular, was brought to my attention earlier today, and we figured that we'll address it here on the show this evening without, identifying a particular school or a particular coach or a particular child or anything of that nature, but just talking about some ways that we can help each other work through these situations, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. You know, folks, we have to learn to be able to work with and through each other and utilize the support system that we have in the Parents Coach and Parents Network to our advantage. And one of the parents stressed the point, and something I've talked about all the time, we must be our child's biggest advocate. And I want to see if our callers are still on the line with us. And if so, do they have anything to share with us as we prepare to wind down from another great show here on the Parents Coach Press Network? We'll start with Jackie. Are you still on?
I am, Michael.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, what do you have?
Takeaways or anything you want to share with us?
I was going to say thank you for just bringing this, conversation to the forefront for not only the parent that reached out to you, but all of the other parents that are listening, and to let them know that there is another avenue. We have on a monthly basis a conference call where we have mothers of athletes, and we do have fathers as well, but the name of the group is Mothers of Athletes. You can find us at mothersofathletes.org, and our vision is just empower, educate, and enlighten all mothers of athletes. So we're here just to do that, to answer questions and to give you help. So I just wanted to put that out, and I think this was a great conversation, and thanks a lot for bringing it to the forefront again, Michael.
Well, I definitely thank you for joining us again. As always, you're a plus anytime you join the show, because we look at getting a different perspective and understanding that, we're not doing whatever I'm talking about here today is just simply what's going on in Michael Scott's head. No, that's not the case. I'm bringing in other perspectives from, as we had this evening, from around the country. Folks that have been involved in the game for a number of years that either had children that are playing or just been associated to the game, all aspects of sports for a number of years. So anytime, you're welcome to join the show, and anytime we got a topic that I need some help in and it's a hot topic, I definitely do not think that I'm not going to call on you because I will definitely give you a call, send you a text message, and say, hey, Jackie, I need your help. I want to address this question, but I'm not sure how to do so. So, again, we thank you, and we look forward to supporting Mothers of Athletes and whatever other endeavors that y'all have coming up, going on. You can share that with us real quick, and we're going to try to move on to see if anybody else is still on the line with us.
Okay, our next meeting will be next month, the third week in December, the third Sunday in December, and we are doing a toy drive to assist, you know, nonprofit organizations around the New York, New Jersey area.
All right, all right. A huge toy drive. All right, Mothers of Athletes have their hands stuck in the toy drive. Have you connected with Toys for Tots or anybody like that in doing that toy drive?
We actually work with a nonprofit organization here, the one in Newark. It's called Greater Life, that's the one that we are working with now.
Okay. All right. Well, we definitely thank you for joining us this evening and looking forward to hearing from you and joining your conversation next month.
Great. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Well, let's see if Sabrina's still on. I know Kim had to drop off because she has some things going on out there in Texas that she needed to get some stories out on. Sabrina, are you still on with us? Sabrina? Well, Sabrina was calling in from Atlanta, so I know they had another power outage out there. I'm just kidding. Well, we also have a young lady on, Sabrina. Sabrina is actually the mother of the young man that has the opening piece, Parents Network, Mr. Keith Wright. That is his mom, and she decided to join us today. And just share some insight. Again, she has had some experience with dealing with coaches, you know, because her son did play a great deal of basketball at the University of Harvard for a number of years. Well, folks, you know, I went through and I did a survey, and you know what? I'm going to hope that you're going to tune in next week because that's what I want to go through and give you some results. Well, we went through these 10 questions of the parent self-assessment, and I asked these 10 questions. I told you to rate yourself 1 through 5, with 5 being very much like me and 1 being not like me, and we went through these 10 questions. So come next week, folks, I'm going to go ahead and give you some results from these 10 questions, and then I'm going to give you some results on how you can determine where you're at in this game plan of supporting your kid and doing a parent self-assessment. So I'm going to save that until then. And I encourage you to call in next week. We'll be on same time at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time here on the Parents Coach Parents Network here on Blog Talk Radio. So, until then, it's been fun, it's been real, folks. And we're going to go ahead and close out, see if I can get my man, Mr. Keith Wright, to go ahead and give us some of his little piece as we close out. Where you at, Keith?